Welcome to day 32 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and we are entering into a few chapters in Exodus that the drama is getting more intense, and we will see the great wonders of God displayed before Pharaoh and before Egypt as the Lord speaks to that ruler of Egypt to tell him to let his people go. So as we begin, we're in Exodus 7, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." So Moses and Aaron did it, as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Work a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did, just as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go back to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water, and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, and over their pools, and over all their reservoirs of water, that they may become blood. There will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.'" So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house, with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. The Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs will come up on you and your people and all your servants. Then the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, Stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, The honor is yours to tell me. When shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile? Then he said, Tomorrow. So he said, May it be, according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They will be left only in the Nile. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. The Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, Stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Now the Lord said to Moses, Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Go, sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, It is not right to do so, for we will sacrifice to the Lord your God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not then stone us? We must go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. Then Moses said, Behold, I am going out from you. I shall make supplication to the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. The Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. Chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. The Lord set a definite time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln, and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it toward the sky, and it became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name throughout all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home when the hail comes down on them will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down onto the earth. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. Now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripen late. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Well, today's scripture reading was a fascinating one. These seven plagues that we heard spoken of here that were sent against Pharaoh and his kingdom of Egypt were so astonishing and so powerful. But you may ask, why would God do that? Why would God send plagues like that against a nation? And they were judgments of God against a nation that was disobedient to the Lord, and specifically against a leader, Pharaoh, who refused and hardened his heart over and over again, even though the Lord had sent his servants with his word, giving him clear direction on that he was to let the people of Israel go. And yet Pharaoh fully refused to recognize the Lord as being God at all. He said in the beginning, I don't even know who this God is. And the reason is, Egypt was a nation that had a pantheon of gods, a multitude of gods. They worshiped so many different gods, false gods, of course, but they had gods. They worshiped the frog god. They worshiped the bull as a god. They worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars. They worshiped even the light and ice and water and fire. The Nile was a god. So as we go through these seven plagues, I want you to notice that every single one of them was specifically designed by God to confront and prove that the gods of Egypt were not gods at all and had no power in comparison to the true, one true God, Jehovah, the Lord. So that is what we see. And you have to know that background about Egypt to really appreciate why God specifically chose those specific plagues. And God doesn't do anything randomly. There's always purpose and design behind everything that God does. So let's take a look at first, at the very beginning of chapter 7, because I want to point out something, and then we'll take a look at each of the plagues. The first thing I want to point out to you is that you may remember that when Aaron threw down the rod of Moses, as God told them to do, to prove that they were sent by God, and that was the point of the wonders, the signs and wonders, and this wonder or sign that they were going to use, that God told them to use, was to take the staff, this wooden staff, shepherd's staff, throw it on the ground, and it would become a serpent or a snake. And so they did. They threw the staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it turned into a snake. But then Pharaoh also called for all his wise men, his sorcerers, his magicians, and they did the same thing with their secret arts. Each one of them threw down his staff, and it turned into a snake. Well, so Pharaoh's like, there you go. You don't have anything we don't have. That's his point. But God was not going to allow his servants to be in any way disrespected or his name to be disrespected. So Aaron's staff, which God had made, the staff Aaron threw down, which was really Moses' staff, or now called the staff of God, had become a snake, swallowed up all the other staffs, or now snakes, swallowed them up, making a very big point that the God of Moses and Aaron was the one true God, and these gods that they worshipped were nothing in comparison. They were false. And so one of the things that I want to draw to your attention is this. You know, God has certain gifts and anointings and spiritual gifts and supernatural gifts that he operates still today through his servants. Signs and wonders still occur today. Miracles still occur today. And God uses people who are submitted to him to do miracles even today, as Jesus did when he walked on the earth and he healed people. He told his disciples, greater things than these you're going to do. That was the inheritance Jesus left to his followers. And we are his followers all these generations later, and still applies to us today. It didn't die out with the apostles, as some people like to profess. But that's not the case. God intended for his servants to walk in the power of God that he has given to us in the name of Jesus. But the point I want to make is that there is in the earth today a satanic realm. There's demonic activity that goes on, witchcraft, things like that. And those people who operate in those realms can sometimes replicate the signs and wonders that people who really serve God are doing. And that's pointed out here. Aaron threw down his rod. That was from the Lord. It turned into a snake. That was from the Lord. It was a sign and a wonder. But then these magicians did the same thing, and their rods or staffs turned into snakes as well. But then God proves that he is the true God by having the staff of Moses and Aaron swallow up the staffs, or the snakes that be from the staffs of the magicians. And it's a sign to us that we have to recognize that there are deceptions in the world. There are people who operate in demonic power that can look like similar signs and wonders or miracles done by people who do really truly walk with the Lord and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But understand that Satan must eventually bow to the power of the true Spirit of God. So don't be dismayed or think that any miracle or sign must be from the devil, since there are people in the world that can operate in the demonic realm, that's not the case. The Lord is still doing signs and wonders and miracles today, and we just have to be aware that there are also people who try to be counterfeit of the gifts and supernatural signs and wonders of the Lord. But let's move on and look at these seven plagues. There's three more we'll talk about tomorrow, but today there are seven, and every single one of them was designed by God to address a false god that Egypt worshiped. The very first one was the plague of blood. When the water is turned to blood in the Nile River, that was a direct blow to the fact that the Egyptians worshipped the Nile as a god. They literally worshipped the Nile, sacred Nile, they referred to it as. So this was a direct blow at that false god, or the fact that they falsely worshipped the Nile River as if it was a god. And of course it was not, but that's how they saw it, and that's what they did. They worshipped it. And yet, by causing it to be filled with blood, or the water turning to blood, it was a direct blow to that false worship of the Nile River as being a god. The second plague that we see is the plague of frogs. And again, the Egyptians worshipped the frog as the god. It was actually symbolic for one of the gods that they worshipped. And again, the Lord had that plague of frogs occur to deal a blow to that false worship that they had. Can you imagine having frogs so numerous in the country that they covered everything? They were in their houses, they were in their beds, they were in their coming out of their ovens. It was so severe and so horrid to the people that they couldn't believe it. But again, magicians, trying to see if this really came from God or not, tried to create frogs out of nothing, and they did. They made more frogs come up on the land of Egypt, it says in verse 7 of chapter 8. But the frog plague was a horror to the people, and it really disgusted people so tremendously. Can you imagine waking up and there's frogs all over you in your bed, stepping out of your bed and stepping on frogs? Anywhere in your house you walked, you stepped on frogs. Frogs everywhere. It would be so horrific. And it was for the people. And even so, Pharaoh told Moses, called for them and said, please pray to the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. But he was lying. He intended not to do so, or at least he changed his mind. But because this really bothered him, this second plague. But once there was some relief, once the frogs were dead, because that's actually what happened, the frogs all died, and they were so disgusting. It says that the land became foul. They piled them in heaps. Can you imagine the stench of millions of dead frogs? You know what it's like from the stench of one dead animal under your house that you think, dear God, what is that? And you find it and you dispose of it. Imagine millions of frogs dead and stinking in the heat of Egypt. They piled them in heaps, it says, and the land became foul. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart again. So this was, again, a plague aimed at one of the false gods that Egypt worshipped. The third plague, to me, was just so very disgusting. And it is a plague of insects. And it's interesting that there is actually an insect god that the ancient Egyptians worship, a god of the insects. And this was, again, sent to be something that would directly confront that specific false worship. It says that the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth. And it became gnats all through the land. There were gnats on man and gnats on on every animal. If you've ever had gnats just buzzing around you, it's awful. They're tiny. You can't see them, and they're attacking even in your eyes. And it was so terrible. And this plague, it says the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. I mean, covering people. And at this point, the magicians told Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. So by the third plague, the magicians are like, okay, this is beyond us. We can't do this. We cannot even do this. So it was severe. And again, we see Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He didn't listen to them, and he didn't even respond to this plague at all. And different translations translate the word, which is gnats here in the New American Standard, as lice. So if you can imagine, whether it was lice or gnats, it was some insect. And imagine lice covering your head, covering all your animals, covering your body. It would be just a disgusting and a horrific attack on you. And this covered every person among the Egyptians. The next plague that was going to be sent, because Pharaoh wouldn't even soften his heart and turn and say, okay, I see that this really is God, even though his own magicians told him, hey, this is God. We can't even replicate this. We don't know where it came from. The next one was really going to bother them, and this was going to be the plague of flies. And at this point, Pharaoh's going to be so disturbed by it that he's going to offer a compromise to them about going out to worship their God. But the flies were so severe, and it's interesting. Again, the Egyptians, they worshiped different insects. They worshiped the Lord of the flies. They had such a bizarre system of idolatry. And this was a direct blow to that God of the insects and Lord of the flies, because the Lord sent swarms of flies. Have you ever been in a swarm of flies? You want to just run. And it says there came great swarms. Imagine huge swarm where the air is black with flies, that he sent them straight into the house of Pharaoh and into the houses of his servant. And the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine flies buzzing around? And these were like biting flies. So they were like attacking people. People couldn't escape it no matter what room they ran into. It was just in the air, covering everything. It was a horrific plague. At this point, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, go sacrifice to your God. But he wanted them to stay in Egypt and do it. Of course, Moses told him they could not. The Lord had told him to go out in the wilderness, 3 days' journey. And Pharaoh said, I'll let you go, but don't go far away, and make supplication for me. So he told Moses, pray for me so that this can stop. And so Moses said, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh. Only don't deal deceitfully again by not letting us go. So he went out, he made supplication to the Lord. The Lord did as Moses asked him, and the swarms of flies were removed completely. And it says not even one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart again and wouldn't let the people go. Now by this point, you have to understand that God has so demonstrated the reality of himself being the one true God, the God of all gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. There's no one above him. And that his servant Moses was one who walked with him, because at his prayer, a plague began or a plague stopped. At his word, that is a powerful demonstration. And then we move on to the next plague, which was absolutely going to be, which is the fifth plague. And this one was going to cause a disastrous loss to the Egyptians. It was a plague or a pestilence that fell on the cattle. And It was going to attack the cattle of the Egyptians, but the Lord was going to make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing died that belonged to the sons of Israel. I want to say something to you. God is able to protect you the way that God protected the livestock, the possessions of the Israelites in this picture, in this story, because we see this picture of the cattle of the Egyptians being severely attacked by a pestilence. It's some sort of disease that killed off their livestock. And then it goes on to say that the Lord caused a protection to be over the Israelites' livestock so that not a single animal died. And Pharaoh was so astonished, he couldn't even believe it could be true, that he sent messengers over to Goshen to look and see. And sure enough, the livestock of the Israelites, not a single one had died. So again, the Lord was demonstrating his power to a people who worshiped false gods and didn't know the one true God. The next plague was going to make a real change in the city. Oh, and let me make this comment. The plague on the cattle was really another direct assault on the false worship that the Egyptians participated in, because they actually worshiped a bull as one of their gods. In fact, they had temples to this god of the bull, and they would literally, priests would feed this bull and take care of it, and then when the bull would die, they would embalm the bull, and then they would build a sarcophagus, which is like this elaborate coffin that was in the shape of the bull, and bury it in the sarcophagus. Can you imagine that kind of worship for an animal? And that's why, for this plague or pestilence, this disease to strike the cattle and cause all of them to die, was a direct assault against this false worship of a bull and other animals that the Egyptians worshipped. Now, when the sixth plague comes along, this is when there's a change in course of the judgments of God, because this time it's the first time where people are actually going to be the ones that really suffer from this. Not that they didn't suffer from the flies. They hated that, I'm sure, the gnats or lice. But this was going to be an affliction that was going to attack the people themselves. This is where Moses and Aaron, the Lord told them, take handfuls of soot, throw it in the air, and it will become a fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and it will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they did that. And when they did that, every person, every Egyptian, boils, sores would rise up with burning carbuncles, they're often called, on the skin. Extraordinarily painful, extraordinarily disgusting to look at. To the point that it says that the Egyptian magicians couldn't even stand before Moses because of the boils, because they were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. So this plague was painful to every single Egyptian. And still, Pharaoh would not let the people of God go. And by this point, the Lord is just allowing this because he is trying to demonstrate his power, demonstrate who he is, demonstrate who his servants are, and get Pharaoh to the point where he will relent and let the people go. The entire purpose of these plagues was, number one, to secure the rescue or the deliverance of the Israelites from the bondage they were in Egypt. And the Lord knew, as he said in a previous part, that he knew that Pharaoh would not do it except under compulsion, unless he was forced. Pharaoh was not going to let the people go, because you can imagine, they were the labor force of Egypt. There was this huge slave labor force. They didn't pay them. slave labor, and they were going to lose all their slave labor. And it was through the slave labor that Egypt had become a great, many of the great buildings were built using the slave labor of the Israelites. And if they let them go, they were letting go this huge force that did all their building for them. And it was not something Pharaoh wanted to do by any means. So the pressure was being exacted against Pharaoh was increasing. And now, after the plague of boils, came the plague of hail. And again, another strike, another blow struck at the god worship, false god worship, because the Egyptians, they even worshipped the rain, they worshipped the fire, they worshipped the sun and the air, so all these elements of nature, and yet the Lord was going to use nature, these elements of nature, to be a destructive force against the Egyptians. This plague of hail was so bad that it literally destroyed so much of the crops in Egypt. And the Lord was gracious. He even gave a warning saying, if you've got any livestock left, and whatever you have in the field, you better bring it to safety, because any man or beast that's found in the field and is not brought home when the hail comes down will die. So the Lord allowed, he's so merciful. He even told these Egyptians, I'm going to give you a warning. Do this, go take all your animals inside if you've got any left, because if you don't, every one of them will die. This hail is going to be so severe. Can you imagine hailstones big enough that could kill an animal, kill a cattle, and be so severe in that measure? That's the type of hail, plague of hail, that happened. And the same, even people were killed through this who didn't believe God. And it says that only the ones that had any faith, the one among Pharaoh's servant who actually feared the word of the Lord, made his servants and livestock flee into the houses. But he who had no regard for the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. And then when Moses stretched out his hand, the hail started falling on Egypt in such intensity. It hailed so intensely that it struck every plant of the field and it shattered every tree. Now that's an intense hail. Only in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were, there was no hail at all. Again, the Lord showing a distinction between how he can protect his people and the judgments of God against people who refuse to worship God and obey God. And it was this plague where Pharaoh finally starts to bend a little bit. He actually says, I've sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one. I and my people are the wicked ones. It's the first time we see any humility in Pharaoh. And he begs him to make supplication to the Lord, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And so the Lord allowed Moses to go and pray for the hail to stop. And of course, at the intercession of Moses, once again, the hail stopped. The Lord says, or it says in the word, that Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and thunder ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart. So we see that these seven plagues, so intense, so destructive, so powerful, so directly intended to demonstrate to the Egyptians that there is one God and he is all powerful, and that the false gods that were being worshipped were nothing. And yet here we find Pharaoh not turning his heart to obey the Lord, and things are only about to get worse, as we'll see tomorrow as we read in the next few chapters. But I just want to say as we close today that God is a merciful God. He gives people who are not honoring, worshiping, knowing, loving, or obeying God chance after chance after chance in this life, showing them things, demonstrating to them that there is a true God. That's why it's important as believers that we demonstrate in our lives the reality of God, and that we are not shy about sharing the goodness of God and the miracle power of God and the deliverances of God that happen in our lives. That we're not shy about saying, God did this for me, because it's a witness and a testimony to people who don't honor or obey God. And what that is, when you give your testimony, you're giving an opportunity for that person to consider the reality of God, because the day will come when every single person who has lived on this earth will stand before the throne of God, and every person will have been given a chance to turn their heart to the Lord, even as Pharaoh was here. The Egyptians were given that opportunity to turn and worship the one true God, but Pharaoh kept resisting, and yet some of his servants actually began to fear the Lord. So we see the demonstration of God's power in the life of his servants does speak to other people. It speaks to them and it gives them an opportunity. So don't be shy about sharing the goodness of God, the truth of God that you have experienced in your own life. God wants to give every person on the earth a chance to know him as the one true God. Be his mouthpiece. Be his witness. That's one of the callings of God's on every single believer's life. God bless you and have a great week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.